Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Got Stan Weber on the line. Hello, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you. To you too. Welcome into this circle of anger right now that you're going to be involved in, at least for this segment. So sit back, relax, and enjoy yourself, Stan. I'm going to get your comment on something that just irritated me yesterday greatly, and I've avoided this irritation. And I know many people have not, but I've avoided it until yesterday, and now I've had it. And so I'll give you an example. And by the way, Nate, some people out there say that were listening to us talk about this article about Mahomes and Jackson. One person texted, of course they were told what to say. There's no discussion if there's no argument, so it's just clickbait. And someone else texted, no, Mike Freeman is actually a moron and believes Lamar would be the better choice. And so, and look, he's said that in the past, and so who knows what he believes. But, Stan, what we're referencing here is yesterday Bleacher Report Gridiron had their seven NFL experts, and I use that term loosely, and they were asked if they would take Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, and the vote somehow was 4-3 when it should have been 7-0. And I guess that, you know, opinions aren't wrong, whatever. But you know what? This opinion is wrong or misinformed or whatever it is. Opinions can be wrong because this one is. There is no debate. There is no argument. There is nothing. And it's I don't understand. For people, if you can find anything wrong with Patrick Mahomes, then you're better than me, because right now, the start he's off to his career is unmatched. When you combine the level of personal success, individual success, and team success, stunning statistics, situational football where he comes through in unbelievable situations when everything's on the line. On the biggest stage, under the biggest spotlight, in the postseason, he's played some of his best football. Any way you want to talk about this, any way you want to do it, Patrick Mahomes, hands down, and it's not close. And so I would like to think that this is just clickbait. They told, hey, we need three of you to pick Lamar Jackson, so everyone will get pissed off about this and talk about it, because I get that. And that happens a lot. It happens in sports talk radio. That happens when you have two hosts sometimes, and before, and I'm thankfully we never do this, because it just ends up that Nate and I, or Jake and Nate, or there's always some kind of disagreement in there. The three of us don't always agree on everything, and so it works out pretty well. We've never pretended to take sides on something just to have a debate on the air, because I think that's fake and phony, and I think people can tell the difference. So we just, it just ends up we disagree a lot, but so what? That's life. But this, it's just garbage. And how could you listen to anything that any one of these experts says right now when they look at it? Oh, I'd rather have Lamar Jackson. Why? I read some of the things that they said, just stupid. Well, what a tremendous athlete. Have you seen the way you make a guy miss in the open field? Great. Have you seen Mahomes? Did you see his run in the AFC effing championship game that Lamar Jackson was home on his couch watching? Did you see that run that turned the entire game and gave the Chiefs the lead going into halftime at Arrowhead Stadium in a game to go to the Super Bowl? Maybe the play of the year. And so always you just want to talk about throwing the football. Mahomes has got him. And by the way, Mahomes can handle himself when he's running the football too. It's unfreaking believable. Oh, by the way, in that postseason run to the Super Bowl championship in three games, Mahomes, 24 carries for 135 yards and a couple of touchdowns. You could just put that on top of what he did throwing the football in the postseason and all the miraculous comebacks. How's he done overall in the playoffs, you ask Stan? Stan's overwhelmed right now that I'm so pissed off. But that's fine, Stan. I love it. What has he done in the playoffs throwing the football? Oh, I don't know. How does in five games, almost 1,500 yards, 13 touchdown passes, and two interceptions sound for you? And averaging just under 300 yards a game in the postseason, where the Chiefs have gone 4-1 and already won the Super Bowl championship. Stan, bring sanity to this, please. Stan Weber, take my hand and lead me through this.
It doesn't sound like you want to hear anything else, so I think that's probably it.
I want to hear more from you. Come on. Tear into some people, Stan. I want to get you fired up.
Well, I am the type of attitude I have about everything is I'm willing to listen to everyone's opinion and try to understand where they're coming from and make a case for them and see where they might be. Doesn't mean that I necessarily would buy into all of it, but that's just my mindset. So it's not nearly as aggressive as yours. I guess the main thing I would say of all the things that you said is that I do believe that Patrick Mahomes has put together the best early stretch of a career of anybody in NFL history and is on pace to be the greatest player in NFL history. Dan Marino was in the discussion. If you look at Dan Marino's first 2 years as a starter, they track really well with Patrick Mahomes. A record-breaking season, just unbelievably good, doing everything right, leading the team, overcoming defenses that weren't that great, all that. Dan Marino tracks pretty close with Patrick Mahomes, but Dan Marino didn't win the Super Bowl in that second year of starting. He ran into Joe Montana and a San Francisco 49er team that was good and lost the game. Patrick Mahomes ran into a good San Francisco team and won the game. Patrick Mahomes, in his first year, sitting on the sideline after putting together 30-plus points in the second half against Bill Belichick, when they had no momentum at halftime and never got to take a snap in overtime, could have easily been a Super Bowl quarterback 2 years in a row and a Super Bowl champion. They would have beat the Rams, I believe, 2 out of 2 years being the starter. So I do believe that the pace he's on, that you can't find any holes in his game. If winning's your important thing, big plays, ability to scramble, make people around him better, make every throw, be smart, be a leader. There's no detriments in Patrick Mahomes' game, and his pace is the best ever. Will he keep it up? Dan Marino never made it back to another Super Bowl. You know, that would change history dramatically if, you know, John Elway didn't get off to a quick start. I remember his rookie year, he got underneath the guard and tried to take a snap. I mean, he had a bad year, but over his whole career, he won a couple Super Bowls and took him to multiple Super Bowls. You know, if Patrick Mahomes stops right here and never makes another Super Bowl and levels off, then we can talk. But as of right now, I agree with mostly the statement that you said, that he is on the pace right now to be the best ever. No one's had this pace after two seasons starting, and I don't see where you can find any negatives to his game.
And the other thing I'll add too in the comparison with Dan Marino, and when you look at his that really is the only comparison you can make for a guy that put up unbelievable numbers right away. But Mahomes offers that added dimension where if everything is covered, if the play's not there, or if everything breaks down, he can also beat you with his legs. That was a huge part of the postseason. That was a huge – I just talked about the run in the AFC Championship game. After he got healthy, I mean, just all you got to do is look at the difference between the game in the regular season against the Titans when he didn't have a rushing attempt because he's coming back from the injury and to what the threat he was in the AFC Championship game. So there's just another layer as far as that weapon he can go to that Marino could not and never could go to. And he knows when to run. He's getting better at that. And you saw that in the Super Bowl with the smart runs, picking up the yards that they were giving him. And so here's see, you say that you like to, and I do too, to read why this argument's being made, or what someone's opinion is behind Lamar Jackson. Here's the dumbest one. See if you can wrap your head around this one. This is from which one of these knuckleheads said this? Brent Sobleski. This was his rationale, right? He said, "The more I thought about it, the more I lean towards Jackson. The reason's simple. Jackson's already an MVP, and he hasn't come close to reaching his full potential." Oh, he's already an MVP? So is Mahomes, dummy. He hasn't come close to reaching his full potential, so we're just done on Mahomes now? He's a finished product? As good as Mahomes is, it's hard to see him improving upon the type of numbers we've already seen. How could you say, well, Lamar Jackson, he's already an MVP, and he's getting better. But you can't use that argument for Mahomes. It's going to be tough for him to be any better. Look, I get it. You gotta get clicks, everything else. And there's a faithful, loyal listener that tweets or that texts in all the time and just rips Lamar Jackson apart every day. And I don't want to be that guy. I get where he's coming from because he loves Mahomes. But I don't want to be that guy because I was one of the biggest supporters and advocates of Lamar Jackson when he was drafted. And I thought he'd be a successful NFL quarterback. And I love watching him play. And I hate the fact that it seems like sometimes we have to tear down other quarterbacks to defend Mahomes, because he doesn't need anyone's defense. He's the best quarterback. He's proven it in any possible way that you could prove it. He's already proven it. But then they just throw crap out there like this. It just so many people talked about it yesterday. Stan, I just had to bring it to you. I had to. And I'm sorry if you don't like this debate or this conversation. I'm not sure I even like it, because just I don't like to be this irritated by things that I read. But damn it, man, give Patrick Mahomes the credit. He's the best player in the NFL. Right now, it looks like he has every opportunity to be the best quarterback this league has ever seen. So just leave the comparisons. Talk about Lamar Jackson. Is he better than Russell Wilson? Which I'll go ahead and answer that. No, he's not. Okay? Where does he rank in the top five if you want to have that? Do you think he's leave Mahomes out of it? Nate Bucati, take over, please, before Stan Weber hangs up.
First of all, I like the fact that you're this passionate about something and this angry, because I like seeing you. I like seeing people get fired up. Personally,
no, you like seeing me suffer. So. You heard him, Stan. That's where he's. I like seeing you. Yeah. I mean, I like seeing people.
Yeah. I couldn't care less, because the Chiefs got the Super Bowl ring. You know, like a lot of times I've had a chip on my shoulder in Kansas City because we're flyover country and I feel like we're disrespected for a lot of things. And, you know, it used to bother me. Now I'm kind of like, hey, you know what? Let's not tell everybody how great Kansas City is, because I like it the way it is right now. But when it comes to this, it kind of goes back to the argument I was having with some of these analytics guys about the concept of taking a running back in the first round, where to me, like, the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. You know, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, not just because they won the Super Bowl. He is the reason they won the Super Bowl. Like, he wasn't along for the ride. You know, there have been mediocre quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls because they were, you know, they were tied to a rocket ship, so to speak. He was the rocket ship. And there's other great players on this Chiefs team, but let's no, I don't think anybody has any misunderstanding that Patrick Mahomes is the most important player on a Super Bowl champion team. So I really don't care what anybody thinks of whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to get better. I'm with Stan on the fact that I literally don't see a weakness in his game. That's the thing that's amazing to me about Patrick Mahomes. The guy can run. The guy can throw the deep ball. The guy can throw short passes. The guy can beat you from the pocket. He can beat you outside of the pocket. He can throw on the run from every platform. He can diagnose defenses. He can also improvise. He can He has a photographic memory that allows him to study things. And I do think there's still room for improvement. So, which is hard to say for a guy that doesn't have a weakness. The only thing he can do is get better at the things he's already really good at. So to me, like, it's, I don't really think it's a debate. I think it's people trying to have hot takes. And I think there sometimes becomes a fatigue on players. This will make Jake mad if I compare him to LeBron, but sometimes, you know, you'd see me get mad because LeBron wouldn't win the MVP. And I'm like, does anybody really want one of these other guys than LeBron James leading their team? It's just people are tired of LeBron James being the best player in the league every year, so they come up with reasons to vote for somebody else. It's like they've already hit Mahomes fatigue just 2 years in because he's so much better than everybody else. They've got to try to come up with a hot take. But it doesn't, I mean, and that, again, it's like the argument I had with an analytics person about, you know, if you think Sammy Watkins was a good contract and you don't really understand football at all. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't root for the Chiefs based on whether or not they got the greatest value out of the wide receiver contract. I don't run around celebrating which team won on the balance sheet. You know, which team had the most efficient usage of the salary cap. I understand that's weird, a component. Yeah. I understand that's a component to building a good team. You got to manage the cap well. But in terms of, like, the trophy doesn't go to which team managed the cap well. The trophy goes to which team won the freaking Super Bowl. And the Chiefs did that.
And that matters. So, and postseason, you know, performance matters.
I don't
for
care.
Quarterbacks, maybe more than any other position in any other sport. And Stan, as I throw it back to you, Lamar Jackson, 0-2 in the playoffs with a 51% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, scintillating in the postseason on the biggest stage. Unstoppable. Stan Weber, hello.
Patrick Mahomes also, to add to Nate's list, makes plays when the game's on the line.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Stan.
That's a big thing. The list you went down was very good, but there's another one. You know, can you make championship plays at the end? I know two of the greatest quarterbacks ever, in my opinion, Roger Staubach and John Elway, weren't good all game, every game.
Right.
Not nearly as good as Dan Marino was down after down. But when it was, you know, 10 points down in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes left, how do they come back and win so often? And not only in regular season games that matter to get you into the playoffs and where you're going to be and get confidence from your team, but also in championship-level play, the playoffs. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes definitely checks that box as well, because when the pressure's really on and you think, well, he puts up just a great performance, but will he be able to do it when there's no momentum? I mentioned that. No momentum against New England 2 years ago. None at halftime. It was, you know, the stadium was in shock. The team was in shock. And they're playing against the best coach maybe in the history of the NFL and a defensive-minded guy in Bill Belichick, and yet they did what they needed to, scored a ton of points. And then if they needed to score right at the end to get to overtime, they did it. And the comeback, obviously, in the Super Bowl is outrageous. The comeback in the earlier two playoff games were statistically very unlikely that he was able to do that. So, and then you say, well, you know, Roger Staubach and John Elway got themselves into those positions, you know, by maybe not playing so great. But that's really not how you define where the Chiefs were against the Texans. I didn't even have negative plays for Patrick Mahomes. They're behind by a mile and statistically should have had no chance of coming back and winning, and they did it easily. But again, I didn't say, oh, Patrick Mahomes played bad. Kelsey dropped a pass on third down. Tyreek Hill fumbled the ball inside the five on a punt return. I mean, I was even then, he didn't build the hole that he got out of. So Patrick Mahomes is doing a fantastic job. He can get better. He's refined and good enough to play at this level to never get better, and he'll be fine. But he can get better. And it's because he works so hard. He's so smart. He demands it of himself, and he's being coached well. And that's the other thing you got to take into account with all these situations, I think, throughout history, is how well you're coached. Because I do think that Patrick Mahomes, if he were with a different team that was not as run as well as the Chiefs are and not coached as well as Andy Reid, he could be playing for another team right now and just be one of the top 5 to 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I mean even 10. He may slide back and just not take it to the next level. It's Patrick Mahomes deserves all the credit because he's the human being who's doing it. But I'm telling you, it's not that easy in the NFL where it's just one person gives you the answer. It's got to be what they do for you. And Lamar Jackson, for instance, They put a system in place to make him flourish. If they wouldn't have put a system in place with the Ravens, he would be probably the 25th best starting quarterback right now. So it's not just what the player does. It's what the coaches do around them.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, Lamar Jackson has a hell of a supporting cast and also is coached by a Super Bowl champion head football coach. And look, that is absolutely a valid statement, because it depends on who's coaching you and the situation you're in. I mean, we could go back and say, well, would Joe Montana have been Joe Montana without Bill Walsh? Would Tom Brady have been Tom Brady had he not been drafted by the Patriots and Bill Belichick? Those things go hand in hand. Patrick Mahomes found the perfect spot for him in Andy Reid. But Lamar Jackson is in the perfect spot to get the most out of his talents with the Baltimore Ravens, and has everything. They've done everything to tailor that team and that offense to his abilities, and they've done a great job. And, again, I enjoy watching Lamar Jackson play. He's a hell of a quarterback. But he ain't Patrick Mahomes, and he ain't close.
Here's an interesting statement, I think. I don't know what you guys think about this, but when you're talking about this, I started it and you agreed with it. It's the coach coaching the quarterback. Could be a quarterback's coach, could be an offensive coordinator, could be a head coach. Someone's got to really help you flourish as a coach. Dan Marino, for instance, had Don Shula. Don Shula wasn't necessarily a great offensive coach, but he was a great head coach. The Baltimore Ravens don't necessarily have the great offensive coach as a head coach, but they got a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You can do it those ways. And when you mentioned Joe Montana, he would not have been Joe Montana without Bill Walsh. Tom Brady would have been a lower level quarterback in the NFL if he wouldn't have had a Belichick coaching him. I mean, no way could Tom Brady take a team on his back. All the intangibles he brought had to be seen by someone who demands every one of those intangibles from his team. And that's Bill Belichick. So these answers are yes, 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 that it's all about the situation in addition to their great ability. But you know what? That brings me to this statement. The one player that pops into my mind that is less associated with that combination of coach, quarterback, needing to be there to be successful, to play at a high level, is Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Peyton Manning is the one player, as I think right now, that's a little different. That he, no matter which team he went to, he would have been a success. He had an NFL pedigree from his dad. He grew up around it. He was wired correctly. He'd been a star his whole life. I mean, when he walked into sophomore football, he already was being watched with a keen eye. I mean, he understands the pressure of it. He understands what you have to know. And basically, if you go back to what the Colts did, he pretty much ran his offense. He was the offensive coordinator. So, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I have my one exception to that rule being so true is really a Peyton Manning, because he understood football to another level, studied it to that level, and integrated his style onto the team that was going to be successful and win, you know, 10 games a year type of deal, no matter who his coach was. And I'm not trying to bash Dungy at all. I think Dungy did a great job, but I think Peyton Manning could have been drafted by any team in the NFL and have a great offensive performance. So I just think that's interesting. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but he kind of is the one exception, that it's his being that was the biggest factor for why he was great, as opposed to the systems and all the other things that I truly believe in.
No, I'm with you, because I was thinking about that, and Peyton Manning's, you know, name popped in my head and said, well, you can't use that argument. You're right. And then he went to Denver later in his career, and he had a statistically fantastic year when they lost the Super Bowl, and then they won the Super Bowl, so he had success in another situation at the highest level. So yeah, I agree with you there, absolutely. Now, before we break, Jake, eggplant emoji sounder alert.
Oh boy.
Siren.
Oh boy.
All right, when I saw this, let me tell you, I'm thinking it's all coming together for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Stan, tell me if you're on board for this. Sign me up, please. NFL clubs today, and this was yesterday from Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, NFL clubs today received updated playing rules change proposals. Most interesting, an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team a chance to maintain possession by going for it on 4th and 15 from their 25-yard line. Sounds like support for the idea is growing. Then one note, a team could do this no more than two times a game. So twice a game, you would have the option to, as an alternative to the onside kick, you could go for it on 4th and 15 from your own 25-yard line. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you happen to get a lead on the Chiefs, yes. Just give Mahomes and this offense another way that they could come back. Sign me up, Stan Weber. What do you say?
Well, I do think it's a very good alternative because when you think of alternatives, you got to think about what the trade-offs are. Is it inconsistent with football? Is it too quirky and there's holes in the rule that people will take advantage of? And the answer I find is no. The onside kick is a legitimate play in football, and they've changed that by not allowing the kicking team to line up in a way that gives them the old-fashioned chance. So we're hardly seeing any NFL kickoffs being recovered by the kicking team. So we've taken out a big thing in football. I shouldn't say a big thing because it doesn't happen very often. But a little possibility has been taken out of football. It's a step backwards. We can either live with that. I'm okay with that as well. Or you can find an alternative. Well, they found an alternative. And then you start saying, okay, does this alternative make sense? What's wrong with this alternative? And there's very little wrong with it because 15 yards is hard to gain, just like an onside kick should be hard to get. How do you handle that play? Where does it fit in the game? Well, they've got a rule that it fits in perfectly. You're going to have the play not be quirky outside the game. It's going to be a legitimate play, and the results of that play will stand and lead to the next action on the field. In other words, from the 25-yard line, you drop back, and you get sacked for 8 yards. They take over the football there. You throw an incompletion. The other team takes over the ball at the 25. You get a 14-yard gain. They take over 14 yards downfield at the 39. If you make a completion to the 42-yard line, you keep the ball, and you start driving down the field. It just sequences in the way it should. Now, you're going to have to work on the odds and make sure that it's not too easy for the offense because it's supposed to replace the onside kick. It's not supposed to advance the game to a whole nother level. Okay? Now, if that's what they want to do, maybe that's fine, but maybe they'll have to make it 20 yards rather than 15. Maybe they'll have to make it 12 yards, but they need to just replicate it, and they really can't put this rule in that you can only do it twice. If you put the rule in that you only do it twice, that means the odds are too much in favor of the offense and you change the game completely. Okay? It's not make it, take it in basketball. That's a game you play in the yard, but no real basketball game has a make it, take it component. So if it's so easy that you would want to do it 3, 4, or 5 times that you could gain 15 yards, then we got something that's a bad rule. I don't think we have a problem right now. I think it's a great alternative, and it's worth starting. I think 15 yards is about right, but maybe it needs to be moved back to 18 or 20 yards. The fact is, you shouldn't make it that often. That's the key. It's got to be like an onside kick. But it is a close of a good alternative and a match and a fit that could go right into the NFL this year. It's amazing. Unlike the rule that they're going to get rid of, which is the replay on the pass interference, which was a complete joke last year. The way they implemented it was a complete joke, and now they're going to reverse their step. Well, not really. The NFL usually puts a rule in, by the way, for just 1 year. They don't ever make a rule. They make it for 1 year and then go back and be voted on. And this was a one-year rule where they're going to say, no more replays on pass interference. That did not work. There's nothing good about it. No one's happy with it. The game's not better. So that's a good rule change, and I think this chance to take the football from the 15 rather than kick off and have a first, like a 4th and 15 play is fine. I find very little problem with it.
Let's take a break. We'll hear what Nate and Jake have to say about this possibility. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Before we transition into a little college football, Stan Weber. Stan, probably wondering what they'll got. What's St. John been eating this morning? or drinking. Nothing, Stan. I had some vitamins and some delicious orange Metamucil mix into a bottle of water. Very wonderful. You can listen to the commercials right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But, Stan, you said your piece. Now, Nate, Jake, what do you think of this this possibility of twice a game you would have the opportunity as an alternative to the onside kick going forward on a 4th and 15 from your own 25 with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback?
I'm just going to be honest. My outlook on all of the rules in the NFL are completely changed by the fact that Patrick Mahomes is my quarterback. It used to annoy me that you couldn't even breathe on a quarterback in today's football without getting a personal foul call. That now I'm for every rule that protects the quarterback. I am for this rule because Patrick Mahomes would have an advantage over every team in the NFL. His passer rating on third or fourth and over 10 yards is incredible. And his rate of conversion with this offense would be incredible. Now, here's the thing. The Chiefs wouldn't need to use this as often as other teams, because the Chiefs will play from in front more often than other teams. But when they do need it, that would be they would convert those fourth and 15s on a much higher rate than they would convert onside kicks.
Just makes them even that much more difficult to beat. If you did have a late lead.
Yep.
Pounders, you in, Pounders? Come on.
Oh, I'm in, but I think that fourth and 15 isn't enough. I mean, if you're not
for Mahomes, it's not.
No, I think for the league, if you want to do this rule fairly and correctly, I think Stan was right. You know, if you're going to do this, it shouldn't be something that gives you a big advantage, because
they say that the math they did said it's about a 20% conversion proposition, and that's what they wanted at.
Right. I can see them doing this, and then Mahomes pulls it off a couple of times, and then they adjust it, and it becomes the Mahomes rule.
I think there's going to be a lot of. I mean, I think that fourth and 15, I don't think is enough. I think it needs to be fourth and 18 or fourth and 20. I mean, but if you want to do it like an onside kick or how the onside kick used to be, they weren't converting 20% of onside kicks. So I think that you need to have that number register around what onside kicks used to be, which would probably be around 5 or 6%, I think.
So Mike DeCourcy wrote about this, because you know how much Mike DeCourcy hates the NBA rule where you can advance the ball to half court on a timeout. And the reason the NBA did that is because they wanted more buzzer-beating shots. And so my guess is the NFL, and I know Mike's written about this, he hates this proposal as well, because it would increase the number. It would, I mean, the NFL's attitude is probably similar to the NBA's, is we would rather have people convert more often than they did onside kicks, because then all of a sudden, when your team is when a team is down two scores with 2 minutes to go in a game, the game isn't over, and you
the
have more of a reason
of
to stay and watch. Yeah,
would be incredible.
But you are changing the integrity of the actual football game.
No doubt about it. And that's the argument against that rule in the NBA.
Stan, should it be greater than 4th and 15? Should it be 4th and 20, like Jake says?
It should be something that emulates the onside kick,
right,
like Jake said. So it probably used to be about 10% or something, slightly above 10%. It shouldn't go that high, because you guys are thinking in a mindset that it replaces the onside kick. Okay, that's what it's supposed to do. And then you're also running down that alley right now saying, well, the Chiefs aren't going to do it very often. But that's not the problem. The problem isn't, it's not an onside kick. So the Chiefs could go up by 10 and say, we're going to do it. Put the hammer down. I mean, that's the problem, is it's going to be a make-it-take-it basketball game where the Chiefs' defense 2 years ago wasn't that good. So they go, what the heck? We got a pretty good percentage with Patrick Mahomes. Let's just keep the ball. And that's not what football is made to be. It's not a make-it-take-it game. So you cannot have, you know, if the percentage is expected to be near 25%, and Patrick Mahomes is better at it, so you're getting closer to a third chance of doing it, the teams are going to use it as an offensive weapon to just keep the ball. And that's not fair. That's not what we want. It's exciting, but it's going to be an offensive play. That's why, here's the proof in the pudding. They have a limit of two.
Yeah.
Okay, the NFL is the best, and they're thinking it through, and they're going, uh-oh, this isn't an onside kick replacement. This is going to be an offensive weapon replacement, and we got to limit it to two. Well, that's a joke. The play's out of line if it's limited to two. So I'm okay starting with 3rd and 15. People will ease into it. Remember when the three-point line came out? Remember when that happened, guys?
Mm-hmm.
It was an advancement to the college game, right? But did they shoot many three-point shots?
No.
No, because they thought it was a low percentage shot, maybe when you're behind and you need, you're down by six and there's not a lot of time left. We'll take a couple of threes on our next two possessions. They played it very conservatively. So next year, I think that it will be a replacement to the onside kick. Okay, it's going to be somewhat of a decent replacement at 4th and 15. But it's soon going to change. Just like, what is the three-point line in college basketball now? Geez, almost 50% of the shots come from three because the value of that shot is so great. So the value of having a 4th and 15 and not having to have your defense go out on the field for some of these teams is too great to blow the game open. Hey, we have all the momentum in the world. The defense stinks. They're tired. They're demoralized. They need to talk to their defensive coordinator. They need to get Bill Belichick to go over and grab them and say, do your job. Do your job. Believe in what we're doing. Remember when he cuts out, you know, no, they don't get a chance to talk. Bring them on back out here when they're worn down, beaten up, and let's go for a 3rd and 15. And if we get it, let's keep going. Oh, by the way, what about all this stuff about player safety? I mean, there's no player safety if a defense has to go through a normal drive and then come back out and do another normal drive. So it's, I think it's going to turn into an offensive weapon if you don't watch the percentages. I'm not saying 3rd and 15 is wrong, but they shouldn't be shooting for a 25%. So Jake's attitude is exactly right. If it needs to be 3rd and 20 or 3rd and 25, whatever it needs to be, the percentages need to be 10% chance that you can make it.
It would be 4th down for the record.
Yeah, I made 4th down. Yeah. I should say 4th down every time I say that.
And there'll be some coaches that now, of course, if you're desperate and your back's up against the wall and you're down late, you have no choice. But there'll be plenty of coaches that won't have the balls to do it early on because they will think about the risk instead of the reward. And also, it's going to be dictated by who your quarterback is and, like you said, who you're playing. And so the Chiefs would have no problems doing it any time because there's a high likelihood that they'll convert it, but higher than any other team. But if your quarterback sucks or if you're a risk-averse head coach, and there are plenty of them in the NFL, they'll be too scared to do it early in a game. They'll only use it when they are forced to late in the game, and so it depends on who your quarterback is.
It also could be used as a weapon against the Chiefs. Like, look at what Harbaugh did when he came into Arrowhead last year. I mean, he coached that team differently than you'd seen him coach. I mean, they were going for it on almost every fourth down. It doesn't matter.
I love the possibilities, man.
Right.
I love the idea of it and the possibilities of it. And it's not. And I don't. It's just an alternative. It's not replacing the onside kick. But man, I do think there's a way, and it may need some adjusting. It could just add even more excitement. And the NFL is great as it is already, but add more excitement. And yeah, of course. Much of this conversation today, Stan, has been driven by my unwavering and unconditional love for Patrick Mahomes II.
I do.
All right? If my quarterback's Elvis Gerbeck, I don't like this. I don't like this rule. This rule sucks. Okay, if my quarterback's Matt Castle, this sucks. I hate this rule. If my quarterback's Patrick Mahomes, bring it on.
Well, Jake brought up the great point, though. This could change the balance of how the game is played. If you like the excitement of that, that's fine. I mean, that's cool. You can say the game's just totally advanced itself, like adding a three-point shot made college basketball better. If that's what we're going for, then I'm okay with you and all the excitement that is there. If you're saying it should just replace the onside kick and change it to a more legitimate opportunity to get turned around, then we need to be very careful because here's what would have happened 2 years ago, guys, and it is not fair. Overtime is not fair that Patrick Mahomes never got the ball against the Patriots. It's unfair. We got to do something different. The Patriots went down and scored, and Patrick Mahomes never got a chance to play football. That half your team began to get a play. There's nothing fair about that. But if this would have been 2 years ago, and the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were playing against the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, there would have been so much concern about what Patrick Mahomes could do to them that they'd run out and say, we're up by 7, we're up by 10, it seems like we have control of the game, but you know what? I'd rather play the Chiefs defense one more time than have to deal with Patrick Mahomes. And if we don't get it, we'll probably gain some yards, and they would have moved the ball down the field anyway. What would you feel like if Bill Belichick said, oh, we're going to figure out a way to get the ball to Gronk, we're going to get pass interference, we're going to get that 15 yards and keep the ball and watch Patrick Mahomes during the third quarter not get to play his normal turn. That's not right. So it can be used against you when you got a great quarterback just as much as it can be used for you. I'm okay with it to start with because I think the coaches will play it conservatively, but it should not be in the plus 20%. It's going to become an offensive weapon. And 2 years ago, we might not have seen Patrick Mahomes. He might have had five less series throughout the year or 15 less series throughout the year. And no one said that the offense doesn't get a chance to, after the other team scores a touchdown, the Chiefs' offense should get a chance. They shouldn't be able to go out and make 15 yards and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. That scares me.
Yeah, and if they try it early on and fail, they could get buried and end the game. There's plenty of risk there as well, like depending on who the quarterback is.
You know, yeah, that's not the balance of what it should be. When a team scores, the offensive players ought to be able to put their helmets on and get ready to go out and play. And I don't want to see that changed in football.
I guess the counter argument to that would be, I'm trying to read here because somebody asked, do you have to be trailing in order to be able to use this? And I don't see that here. It says there's no word on if the rule can be used the entire game. But, you know, you used to be allowed to onside kick whenever you wanted. I mean, there were surprise onside kicks. And, in fact, those were converted at a much higher rate than the expected onside kicks for reason. Obviously, the other team, if they're prepared for it, but I mean, we remember Sean Payton and the Saints doing it in the Super Bowl. That was a tool teams could use. There's a part of me that thinks, man, and especially because this would be at your own 25-yard line, so it's even riskier than doing the old surprise onside kick was back in the day.
And they also changed the onside kick now, and it's almost impossible to recover. It's not the same.
Yep.
It's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah. So
we have to note that. That's not the same onside kick. And that percentage as it used to be.
I'm just picturing the drama of, like you said, let's say the Baltimore Ravens come into town and they score a touchdown and they go up on the Chiefs in the second quarter or whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, the if we have fans back in the stadium at some point, the buzz in the stadium went, holy cow, Harbaugh's bringing the offense out. They're going to go for a 4th and 15 from their own 25 here instead of kicking off. And that's a gamble. That's a huge gamble. Because it is a low percentage, you're taking a 1 out of 5 chance if you're a decent offense that you convert it and get your ball back, or you're going to have Patrick Mahomes getting the ball at his own at your own 25-yard line. You know, I mean, I just think there's
cha-ching.
I mean, I just think that actually, I think it would make for some pretty fantastic.
Listen, how hot and heavy Nate is right now. Look at
well,
you.
I like strategy. You know, I like when coaches have to. You know, hey, oh, they're going to use their onside kick right here. Oh boy, that's going to be discussed, and that gives us something to talk about on the radio show the next day. Stan, we can talk about. Hey, what was Big Red thinking?
This is all self-serving on how this helps the radio show. Don't you understand?
No, exactly. That's
screw everyone else.
But it's a legitimate question. Here's a couple legitimate questions and thoughts. If the onside kick was still normal 3 years ago's version or 5 years ago's version of the onside kick, would you guys be okay that there's no rule change? That this rule wouldn't even be talked about because the onside kick is okay. Are you okay with that, or are you just excited about this rule and therefore it has nothing to do with the onside kick?
It's part of it, but it's not the only reason I want this to be an alternative, but that certainly is a factor.
So I believe it's only to replace the onside kick. That's what the goal should be. We shouldn't be changing football because it's already great. But here's the other thing that really comes into play, and you can be happy about Patrick Mahomes. I don't think about it just for my team. I think about what's best for the league. That's why the NFL is the greatest league ever, because the New York Giants had all the money in the original situation back in the early NFL days when TV money was coming, and you know what? They didn't keep it all. They gave it to everybody. So my mindset's completely make the NFL great, and that's all we care about. There is a big problem here. If the Miami Dolphins of 1972 that were undefeated could run the ball 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, and you couldn't stop them, guess what? They score touchdowns. Okay? They score touchdowns. What's wrong? What is wrong with what I said? Is there anything wrong in a football player's mind that they pound it down your throat for 5 yards every play and there's nothing you can do about it? I don't think there's anybody who says that is not big-time, legitimate, top-rate, championship-level football. And what you said is, no, it's not. Because if the Dolphins can't drop back and hit a 15-yard pass and make all 15 yards at one time, then they shouldn't get to keep the football. and that's a big problem. That is not football. It's not fourth and 15 is not football. It's 5 yards runs is football, a 15-yard pass is football, and 2 incompletions. But you can't just say only the good third and long teams, like the Baltimore Ravens. You think about it, it helped the Chiefs because the Ravens could run it down your throat 3 straight times, but the chances of them getting 15 yards in one play is way less than the Chiefs. So we've changed the balance of what football is here. Wait till the offensive guys figure this out. Wait till the odds start playing out. It'll be exciting. It'll be fun, but it won't be what football is about. We should be replacing the onside kick and stay focused on that only, in my opinion.
Stan Weber, we appreciate your time. Thank you for talking to us as we were fired up about a few things today. And I hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend with your family.
Okay, you too, guys.
That's Mr. Stan Weber. Sign me up. I want it.
So Field Yates apparently tweeted out that you can only do it if you're trailing.
Fine. Bring it.
I don't like that part. I say if you're going to allow it, allow it. Let teams use it when they want. Like you said, I don't think hardly any teams have the guts to do it unless they need to.
A few would, but I would.
I like that.
I would lean towards two. You have two opportunities to use it anytime you want, and that's it.
Yeah, I like that.
But if it's but if they minimize it to where it's just they're just trailing, fine. And maybe Stan will like that better. I'm fine with that too, Jake. What about Vegas, Jake? Yes or no?
I mean, I see Stan's point, and I do think you have to be careful when you're changing the integrity of the game, because there is something to be said for answering. You know, there's the aspect of momentum is a giant thing to deal with when you're talking about an NFL game, and the momentum swings. That's a big part of how you handle the ebbs and flows of an NFL game. And being able to put your helmets on, like Stan said, and go back on the field and answer a team just scoring, there's something to be said for that in a team's morale and just in the progression of a game. And when you're taking aspects of the game and changing them, you got to be really careful when you're doing that, especially when you have an awesome product that doesn't need a lot of tweaking already. Now, there are fun thoughts and there are fun ways to tweak it, and you can do it. And you can do it right, but I think you just have to be really cautious when you're making big adjustments that could change the integrity of a game.
We will take a break. Let's check in with Gary Lezak after this on WHB.